These two paragraphs I'm going to show you are, you know, it's a transit. They speak of a transition. They speak of you going from the grips of the ego to the surrender back to truth. These two paragraphs we're going to read tonight contrast with full confidence that this is something that happens, it's something you will do, something you've already done, and it shows you what happened. Wherever you are on your spiritual path, having been in a body, having been in the grips of fear, having been in the grips of war, defense, any time in your life, this is for you. And of course, it's all of us. These two paragraphs I'm going to show you, they actually show the two sides of the coin, one paragraph after the other. And, you know, at some point, of course, in your spiritual awakening career, you will surrender. You will surrender for all the right reasons. Other times you begin a spiritual career for all the wrong reasons. Because you want the world to change and you want some way to access more power to change the world. Because it hurts. Something went wrong in your life. Better reason is you're starting to doubt yourself. And it's scary. This is a better reason to start a spiritual career. A lot of you, that's the case. That's really the only one where your mind is open enough to be able to have a spiritual awakening and install an upgrade to your awareness. Awareness is a whole other topic we need to discuss sometime in depth. It's not what the ego thinks it is. But for now, it's just a handle, okay? It's a handle that describes for us at this point in our discussion, awareness is this, is seeing that we're on a staircase, and there's an up and there's a down. That's enough awareness. Sometime we'll discuss that in much more depth. But for now, there is a two-sided coin in your spiritual awakening. There's a point. You know, we've talked about the bridge so many times, that A Course in Miracles is a bridge. It's a bridge from the material, physical, time and space, loss and gain, attack and defense world. It's a bridge from that. One side of the bridge is actually in that. Two, the spiritual, creative, free, loving source with no limit. Course in Miracles is a bridge, and it actually touches both of those sides with this chasm in between. We've discussed that a couple of times. The paragraph we're going to see tonight is something that you would do really well to happen to be reading when you're in the middle of that bridge. And it so happens, it's pretty much right in the middle of the lower workbook, so not bad there. Because this takes a state of mind that says, I can do this. I can leave behind attack, defense, death, sorrow. I can leave that behind, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to freedom. I'm going to return to being love and creative. A creator instead of a consumer. I'm going to be that. Somehow, don't know how. If you've come to the midway point in this, your spiritual awakening on this bridge, which is A Course in Miracles, you can actually hear this stuff and say, yeah, it's happening. These two paragraphs work on that moment, that arc in the bridge right in the middle when you say, I could go back. I feel it. I totally understand the world. I get it. I get fear. I get defense. I get protection. I get it. I get jealousy, all that stuff. I totally understand it. But I'm not convinced that I need it anymore. What a moment. I don't exactly know what comes next. I don't know what replaces, let's say, something like anger. When you see an injustice happen with your eyes and your ears and your memory, you're programmed an injustice, somebody you love especially, you're programmed with certain responses. When you're at the point we're talking about tonight, you've come far enough on your spiritual journey where you could say, I know, I get it. I know what the ego would do here. I'm not interested in where that leads. It doesn't work for me anymore. I'm interested in going beyond, and I know I can. Wow, that's what we're talking about. Where you turn your attention back to your spiritual path instead of trying to reinforce something learned from the ego, like arguing, like attacking back in order to diminish somebody else's strength so you can feel better. This is how the ego works. What am I talking? Guilt. The coin of the ego. You feeling some guilt that you don't think you deserve? Well, make somebody else more guilty and you'll feel better, says the ego. That is what you would transcend and go beyond. Only because it's a little disgusting to you by now. Only because you've tried it so many times and you've succeeded. They backed off. They said, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? But you're not satisfied with it. It didn't feel loving. You said, you know, somehow that wasn't fulfilling to crush them and make them so wrong. Didn't feel good. I think everybody's been there. That's where you're free to make a choice to take a step up. These two paragraphs we're going to look at tonight really dramatize that beautifully. And we'll spend some time on it together. It'd be really, really pretty cool. But first, let's spend a few minutes to arrive at a useful state of mind, a useful place where your mind would be open to be in the middle of that bridge. And so we're just going to use that bridge analogy. I want you to see yourself looking at a bridge. Well, I'll just guide you through it, a little meditation. I'll give you some time at the end to stew on it. So get yourself comfortable for a couple of minutes. And we're going to work on your spiritual awakening choice, your personal choice. Okay, you're walking along in your current body, current time, in your exact clothing that you're wearing right now. You're walking along a shore. It's a street. It's busy. Cars are going both ways, and you're minding your business on the sidewalk, walking. Step after step, watch your step. You're walking. Familiar feet, familiar hands are swinging, your legs are moving, you're walking. I get it. Been here before, it's good. It's good. And as you're doing your job walking, keeping yourself standing straight up, you're in the middle of the sidewalk, okay, it's all good, I'm doing great. Off in the slight distance, you see peeking above the telephone poles and the shops and, you know, all the busyness of the street that you're so familiar with. Peeking right above that in the background, you see the tops of a bridge tower. A bridge tower. You say, wait, I think that's it. I think that's what I've been looking for. You just keep walking at your regular pace, but now you've got a sense of confidence going. You got a little sense of purpose going. And now your steps are hurried just a little bit more. Maybe your strides are a little bit longer because finally, here comes that bridge that will lead you away from the chaos of the world. That which you've been seeking with your heart. Finally, you found this Course in Miracles, and it started to make sense that this bridge exists at all. And you are walking toward it now. It feels good to have some purpose, some direction to your walking now. Now the buildings are getting smaller and the streets getting wider. And you take your first glimpse of the bridge itself. And you see, it's plenty wide and there's room for you. And arching across the opening to the bridge for all traffic, it says freedom right on it. Right on it, it says freedom. This is it. There's no question anymore what you're doing. It's just a matter of getting to that bridge. So nice. Now as you get close enough to actually put your hand on the rail that's part of the bridge, you look down on the sidewalk and it has words like this that you're stepping on as you get even closer to cross. And these words are things like peace. And the next one is forgiveness. Oh, I like this. It's already starting to feel right. And you look up and that word freedom now is huge. It's F-R-E-E-D-O-M. It's part of the bridge itself. It's just wonderful. You're in the right place. Go ahead now. Start wandering your way and crossing that bridge. Slide your hand along the rail if you like. It's there for you to do just that. Feel how light your steps are. It's like they're taking themselves. This is great. Just like when you discover each workbook lesson follows so wonderfully from the one before. Each footstep you take seems stronger to actually pull you up onto the bridge. You know you could stop and turn, but this is right. You make it well onto the bridge now, and you remember back home for a moment. Something disturbs this wonderful flow. Did you leave the stove on? Is this going to be okay? Shouldn't you do something yet with your loved ones first, or finish off a relationship, or isn't there something else you're supposed to do? Can you just do this? Isn't there some life you're supposed to live with your body? Some responsibility you have to follow before you take and follow along this glorious path to freedom that seems now so selfish? This question occurs at about year 4 and 5 of Course in Miracles, where you're like, is this really going to work? I think I got other things I should do. This is the ego challenging. Now that you're on this path, now that you've actually had moments of what we call the holy instant, You've had light shine so bright for a few moments that it was more worthy than all the promises the world ever made. That's happened to you. You said, oh my goodness, I think this crazy book could actually lead me page by page to freedom, joy, peace, eternity even. I think I could live without fear if I did this right. That's being on the bridge. So, what's it like to stand there about a quarter of the way across? This is you in your first and second year in A Course in Miracles. Just spend a time, a few moments now with that. This is you with your Course in Miracles, having faith. You're well on the bridge. At least a quarter away across. I don't know, maybe more. You're not sure. But boy, you've been on it for long enough to know. You're not drowning in ego anymore. You have a way, and you know it. You have a way, and you know it. It's up to you, 100%. How does that feel? To know you've made it all the way through all the busy streets of your life, childhood, relationships, physical challenges, money, esteem, prestige, temptations to hate, temptations to love. You've made it all the way to this bridge. Wow. You really have. How does that feel? And now you've noticed that you've been standing in the same spot for a while. You can look back. It's much shorter to go back. But something in you says that would not be fun. You could go forward. Part of you says that is what I want. But I don't know if I can really do it. I don't know how far. And you recognize that now your hand is so comfortable holding on to that particular part of the bridge. It's just perfect. I'll just stay here and do the same lesson over and over. I like this lesson. It kind of works for me. This bridge has been a wonderful journey. Maybe it's enough, and I'll just stay right here. Not bad. And yet, every once in a while, you glance and you say, I wonder what's on the other side of this bridge, and I'm already on it. Yes. That's the moment you're in now. Recognizing that you're certain you're not going back and you're a little hesitant to go forward. But by God, you're on this bridge. And finally, standing there on this bridge, pick a word or a phrase that describes how you feel. Being however acquainted you are with the Course in Miracles, however practiced you are with the Course in Miracles, this is the bridge that you're standing on. You are on this. If you own a copy of this book or if you see a copy of this book and you're in this meeting, you are really on this bridge. Just take a word or a phrase and take a minute, another minute to feel that. Own that. What's it like to be an accomplished Course in Miracles student as you are tonight? It's a handy thing to do every once in a while to look at your progress, to own it. Let's do that now. Luann, tell me, what's it like to have your level of accomplishment in A Course in Miracles? Tell me something about that. Hang on, you're muted.
I've picked three words. I hope it's enough.
That's good.
Okay. The first one is determined. The second one is helpless. And the third one is dependent.
Ascendant?
Dependent.
Dependent. Helpless and dependent. I like it.
And the only thing that's keeping me going is determined. Because the other two are foreign to me.
Yes. Nice. Well, you certainly would need the determination to continue on the bridge and on A Course in Miracles and to be able to undo the addiction to the ego. You would need determination, vigilance, another word the book uses, for sure. And nicely chosen words, you'll see what we're talking about tonight. You would also need to be able to surrender to something greater than Luann, but that's still very personal. So there is a helplessness. Yeah, there's a surrender that occurs like a little child who knows that they don't know. Then they can hear. So I like that. Julie, tell me something about your accomplishment with A Course in Miracles. What's it feel like to be a Course in Miracles student at your level?
Could you come back to me, please?
You bet.
Thank you.
Jacqueline, talk to me about What's it like to be A Course in Miracles bridge traveler?
On one hand, I sense that I already know, I'm already there. I don't know how to describe it. And on the other hand, I feel I'm in the beginning in the fog of the personality, and yet there's this deeper part. I feel like I'm already there. So maybe the holy instant showed me that and some other things in my life. So it's interesting because I just have such a desire to just be with God, however we would say it. I know that I'm with God, and I'm also grappling with the personality and the fog and, you know, all of that. So that's where it is for me.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes. So there is a certainty that comes with faith. Your beliefs are already in set, and now it's a matter of the transition to wholeness from living as a part. And that's faith. In the holy instance have shown you, you can have faith. And now it's a matter of trust. Continue to go and devote more of your keyword now. Keyword. Self.
Mm-hmm.
To devote more of yourself to your discovery. Yeah. Part of you knows it's a done deal. That's great. Yeah. The Course describes itself as an undoing, not a doing, but an undoing. And so that's what you have, really. It's an undoing of this devotion to ego and respect for the ego.
Yeah, and it seems to me that trust and faith is the bridge. And, you know, once we're over the bridge, trust and faith isn't anymore. We just are. I you know, just a sense. That's the bridge.
I like to describe, you know, I like the idea of a bridge so much because, you know, a bridge is shaped like this, right? Got a mm-hmm. high point in the middle. It's an arch. And you kind of work your way to get up to the middle. And once you've made it to the middle, the steps are easier going down the other side. Even though you're not there yet, the steps are easier because you're going downhill. You know you've come halfway. It's a wonderful momentum. Good, good. Beautiful, beautiful. Sundari, what's it like for you to be on this bridge?
Well, I wasn't on the bridge very long. It was a real place. It was along the freeway in Berkeley, between Berkeley and Emeryville, and I'm walking along the water, and there's that bridge with the two Chinese, you know, like little monsters, almost like ego on both sides of the bridge.
Yeah.
And then, but I was across the bridge without any interaction with them, and then into that park, that water park on the other side, but then there was this green heart. Maybe I even sent that to you. This green heart with water, and I fell through into my favorite place on the whole planet, which is Moorea, and where I swam with manta rays in the wild, actually. And then I became a swan. I was in a swan boat, and in Sanskrit, swan is Hamsa. I am that. And then a mentor came and sliced my body in half, and this light being came out and it just could be all sorts of places and became the boat I am that for a while, and then jumped into a black hole, and then there was a curved rainbow hyperspace bridge on the edge of the universe, and I could just go through it and be everything. And the words I just ended up being everything, and the words I got were full, complete, and satisfied. And satisfied was a pun because in Sanskrit, sat is short for Satchitananda, existence, consciousness, and bliss. And that's how I experienced Shaktipat, was listening to a lecture on existence. I was having fun.
So it's fun. It sounds like a blast.
Very blissful.
Good, good, good. That's motivation. It's self-motivating. The path for you has now become so involving that it's self-motivating. Very good. Very good. Deborah, what's it like for you to be on this bridge to your awakening? I think you're still muted.
Mute. Okay. At first, I thought of the word hopeful, and then it just seemed like that was like not it at all. And the word that Luann used was determined, and that came to me as well. And it just felt like the solidity of what I'm doing with the Course. And it felt like at first in that sort of hopeful place, I was kind of looking out. And then as I became determined, I was looking towards the other side, where I want to go. Mm. And it was really a beautiful shift.
Yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. The determination we're talking about here, devotion is another way to describe it. Their personal, happy commitment. Everybody here knows that, there are steps to be taken. And so I love to hear that strength in your voice you used just now. I felt the certainty. Beautiful. Good. It's so nice to have the bridge already built. That's the definition of Jesus. Not some dude waiting to help you at some other time. It's a part of your mind that built the bridge back to heaven, back to oneness. Already done. Already done. And patiently, patiently built for you to walk on with your personal awareness. Nice. I love that certainty in your voice. Ross, talk to us about what's it like to be on this bridge to your awakening.
What came up for me is patient with myself.
Mm.
What I've heard and what I experienced is, what I heard was someone said, I forget which teacher, but first you're chasing God and then God's chasing you. So it's like your analogy of downhill. And then the other one is, you're just sticking your head in the tiger's mouth of spirituality, and then pretty soon the jaws close on you and it's too late. You can't go back. What are you going to do? Go back and suffer? So, you know too much. You know what's back the other way. So you can't go back. So, the final transition into oneness will happen when it's good and ready. Till then, just enjoy the ride and keep vigilant to falling into tricks of the ego that are less and less likely to be fallen into because you know too much from reading the Course. And, other spiritual teachers, it takes, many years to get all the pitfalls that they're going to present to you, or if they know them all. But the Course, I studied Adyashanti for many years, But he didn't have all the pitfalls, or at least he didn't have a list of them like the Course does. If you want a complete list of all the pitfalls of the ego, here it is.
Here it is.
And you can, let's see, which one am I falling into now? But, you know, eventually you'll stop falling for the tricks anymore, and then that part of the bridge will get steeper and steeper.
Yeah.
You slide and you go, wait a minute, hanging on with your fingernails saying, wait a minute, I may not be quite ready.
Yeah.
But it'll be a slide into the oneness.
Yes, because it is. Nice. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Ross. You know, patience, why hurry? If it's already built and you've got 365 lessons with Jesus all writing it out for you, it's done. This you just have to walk the walk. And before you know it, you'll be sliding down that side of the bridge. That's one of the wonderful, discoveries of your spiritual journey.
At least that's how I feel today. Talk to me tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow.
That's fine. Today's all the one, only one that counts. Good. Love it. Okay, all right. Now the picture's switched around. Judy, tell us what it's like to be on an awakening path on the bridge. And then, now you're going to have to, you let me unmute you? You got to unmute yourself, I think.
Voila.
Good.
I heard part of the question being, where am I on the bridge? Where am I in the course? And about a month ago, you asked a question similarly, and I remember thinking, I think a month ago you were asking about forgiveness.
Yep.
And this one, as I'm walking across the bridge, I'm realizing, in 1985 when I started the course, I thought I was being the very best person I could be if I was forgiving of others, but I couldn't forgive myself. Where I am now that 35 years later is I'm now able to forgive myself and others.
Wow.
So that, that to me is just huge. It's just huge. So going across this bridge, you know.
You have traveled on this bridge and you can prove it. That's pretty
good.
What's
so weird is, and it's really actually dated from starting to do these Zooms with you guys. It really, really dates primarily from then. And I watched my stress levels go down, my let it go levels go down. A recent lesson as I'm going through the book again and again is I am just as God created me. So it's like, okay, I can be perfectly calm. I'm so different than I was 3 months ago.
It's time, Judy, that's all. It's all it is just time. Yep. And here it is. Here you are. Beautiful.
Well, it's thanks to you guys.
This is a one-way trip. You can't actually get off the bridge once you started it. You can't actually leave it. This is a one-way journey, and you're already on it. You can delay. You can hold on to that rail as long as you like. But you know what? The bridge is built. Course in Miracles exists. You know what it is. You have a copy. Congratulations. You're on your way. Good. Now, somebody is... Oh, there you are. Timothy, you there? You want to talk to us? What's it like to be on the spiritual path this far in A Course in Miracles? I know you missed the meditation, I think.
I indulge me if I read this couple lines. I exist as I am, and that's enough.
Yeah.
If no other in the world be aware, I sit content. And if each and all be aware, I sit content. One world is aware, and by far the largest to me, and that's myself, and whether I come to my own today, or in 10,000, or in 10 million years, I can cheerfully take it now, or with equal cheerfulness, I can wait. I laugh at what you call dissolution, and I know the amplitude of time. That's what it feels like to me, to be on the bridge, on the journey. That's Walt Whitman.
Yeah, and it's you connecting with those words, and I heard it. I heard you talk about an awareness of self, and it's strong awareness. Beautiful. Thank you. Somebody's invisible on an iPad. Do you want to be with us? Invisible person on an iPad.
I think it might be Carol.
Are you there, Carol? Show us your new teeth. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. New tooth. I have new teeth. Are you there, Carol? All right, she's hiding out. You ready, Julie? Tell us something about having accomplished the steps you've taken on this bridge to your spiritual awakening.
Honestly, it's, I'm not entirely sure what to share. The words that came to me were from the Forgotten Song. And yet you are afraid, believing you would lose the world you learned since then. And yet you know that nothing in the world you learned is half so dear as this. I think it's, this journey has been absolutely beautiful, but as I've, like, been surrendering to a point of understanding what I really am, there's a fear that arises that is not tied to anything in particular, but it's that, just that letting go of this world.
Thank you for saying that, Julie. Everybody has to go through this very passage she described with those words, perfectly honest. Nobody escapes it, not Jesus, not anybody who's actually worked in a body. You do not escape that fear. It's critical to stand in it and acknowledge it. Critical. Because if you deny it, it will stay. If you pretend it's nothing to worry about or to think about, to be aware of, it will stay because it's already built into your identity as being in a body. This is part of traveling through the dark night of the soul. You're very familiar with the body and time and space and being on earth and all that. Very familiar. You know what to do to get warmer. You know what to do to get cooler. You know what to do to find comfort for whatever you need here. Part of you is awoken that says this is false comfort, that there is now an awareness in you of something that's not satisfied by anything in the world. That awakening has occurred for everybody here. But honestly, you really know how to manage the world way better than your spiritual life. You know all the details. Books and stuff to look up, Google will give you all the answers. Your friends, they'll help you. Money will buy you out of a lot of trouble. I mean, you know how to handle it here. So to make this shift to the dark night of the soul is you are sure now that the world doesn't hold the kind of love that you know you're capable of. The world doesn't have it. You know this. But you don't know what the other side of the bridge is either. You don't know how to be divine. You don't know how to be perfectly joyful, perfectly happy all the time. Don't know how. Never done it. So how could you say you know how to do it? You're in the middle. You're right in the middle. Honestly knowing from where you came is what it takes to be able to let it go. That's why I love the honesty you share with us right there, Julie. We all could have spoken those exact words. Super valuable. Sundari. You look muted.
Yes, I'm not anymore. That brings up a question for me. I know on my, I mean, I tend to have drama in my template.
Yep.
And for me, that transition was dark, definitely dark night of the soul for quite a while. And really, the way I'd put it is jumping off the cliff of the fool, really in free fall. And so what I'm asking, I'd be interested in your journey into peace. And because I know you have basically a much mellower, peaceful template than I do in general, and whether... that transitioning, whether it needs to be quite so dramatic and extreme, and yet you are using the words dark night of the soul, and certainly I've gone through that. So I was wondering about that, if that's definitely a part of the journey in a rather dramatic quantum and huge way, or if there's a way of progressing more gently in the world of form.
Not for you.
I know that.
That's the only thing that matters.
But
let me explain it this way. All of us are like birds in a port, and it's a northern port like Maine or something. And when the sun is up, it's great. And there's like fish, you can go down to the boats and you can get free food. Or since it's a port, there's like good waterways and we all know where the fish we can get. And we live on the telephone wires and we sing together. I mean, it's great in this port, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful here? This is perfect actually for us. There's all sorts of nests we can build and I love it. Then the winter comes. And it's not right here anymore. We kind of want to go to Florida. Generally speaking, we want to go someplace warm. We got the idea that this is not where we should stay. So all of us jumped off the wire in this beautiful little port town. And because the snow is falling and there's ice and it's not so easy, if the fishermen aren't even out, let's go. And we did. Some of us just... wing tip all the way out, let's go. And off you went, right down the coast. And you just kept going. I think this is going to be warmer still. I'm going to keep flying. Some of us flew all the way down to Key West. We're like, this is where it's at. Look, tourists, they're throwing French fries. This is home. And so in your body, you have established this long journey in this new home far away from your origin. The true home that will call you back. And part of you, like with a forgotten song, never forget what it's like to be on that wire with your other birds. With the natural foods and the natural nests and everything is just really right. Florida, these tourists and everything and French fries, it's not quite right, but it's comfy. Not all of us went all the way to Key West. Some of us, we all flew out the port. We all left oneness in heaven and the memory of God has been extinguished. All of us. That's leaving the port, my analogy. Some of us flew like, you know, 5, 6, 8, 10 miles and said, you know what? I'm just going to hang out by this warm light behind the pizza restaurant. There's food, it's warmth, and I'm just going to hang here. It's not Florida. It's comfy. It'll do. Made a way, made a life. Others flew out of the port and stopped immediately, hanging on to the edge of the rocks, enough to be out of the port, to get away from the cold, bitter, just where they could barely survive in the world. They don't handle being away from the comforts of heaven, the port. They don't handle it well. Others handle it great. No problem. Key West. Fly, 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 and live in a totally different environment. So separate, so dramatic. Struggling with life and death the whole time. This is what it's like. No two are the same. There's no use comparing any spiritual journeys to find out what Eckhart Tolle did and find out what Adyashanti did and see if you can replicate that. None of that will ever work for you. All right, you know, anybody. I'm saying you as a collective. Because you're one of those birds, and we don't know how far you flew away from the port. How much of heaven were you willing to trust and say, I'll be there when I get back. I'm going. How much have you said, I'm not really interested in going anywhere but heaven, but I'm going to try and see what it's like just down the coast. I'll go down just a few miles. All of that is the case. Everybody is different. No need to compare. So, but we all have the same dark night of the soul. We all cross this bridge. No matter whether you're just outside the port hanging on to a local rock or you've gone to Key West, and it's a long journey back, and it's as dangerous going back, it seems, as it was getting there. We all have to make the same decision, the same awareness that says, I am not at home here. Anywhere along the coast, I'm not at home here. It's time to go home. And I'm called home. All of us have to go through that. And it's the exact same decision. Exact same decision. Hard or easy is not a relative thing. It's a binary thing. Your spiritual awakening and your choice to say, I am not a body, I am free, I'm still as God created me. Since heaven has been completely, you know, God has been completely extinguished in all of us, it is the same decision. That's why there's no order, difficulty, and miracles, because, you see, a dream is a dream is a dream. A dream of drama or a dream of little drama is still a dream, and it was completely effective to move God out of your awareness. So, it doesn't matter, Sundari.
Andrew, that was a really beautiful analogy. Thank you. The thing that's come up for me, and I know I told you this, but like, that what happens, like, I feel like I'm coming to really see this as an illusion more and more. That wasn't something I used to be able to do. But when I think about getting to the end of the bridge, or just that full, as I guess Jacqueline said, like that full surrender, the fear that arises, and we've probably all been there, like you'll be in a meditation and you'll start to slip into that beauty and then you'll snap yourself out of it. But it raises the heart rate. As if like a fight or flight, as if a tiger is chasing you and you're in the comfort of your living room. Like there is nothing that is like actually threatening you, the body. And that was what's so startling to think about, that this fear of losing, like, what I know, in other words, the ego, is like, it really is like a tiger is about to eat my ego, is the way my body chooses to respond to that. And it's, in that regard, like, reality leaks, because there really should be nothing to fear. But it's just, it's still just palpable, very palpable. Even tonight, my heart was racing so much during the meditation.
Good. Beautiful, beautiful. Boy, Julie, I'm celebrating. I know it's scary. It is gripping, and I'm celebrating for you, though. This is something that, of course, I encourage you to continue to go right at. Don't rush. Don't rush. This particular fear is one of the ego's last gasps of grip, is saying that, hey, I'm it. Stay with me, stay with me. It's one of the things the ego does. And a lot of people on a spiritual journey will simply choose this, like a bird who stays at some other port. Says, you know, I'm going to stay by this pizza restaurant. It gets so hot in the summer here, but with free food and everything, I'm just going to stay here. And, you know, it's tattered and it's difficult not being home. It's tattered and difficult, but they can stay forever. You can stay in a false comfort. It's so important to recognize misery that's disguised as joy. If you don't pause, and of course you are going to do this because you're in the grips of it, and I'm encouraging it, it will come back to be reconsidered. So you may as well stay comfortably with it now and say, wow, my personality. Often that's what I hear, is people talk about their personality is another way of saying it. Me. What about me? Am I going to lose me? That's fine. Course in Miracles will very gently describe this letting go, as will I, all along the way. One of the nice things that I discovered on this Dark Night of the Soul journey and letting go of myself, of the Andrew that was familiar, was that if all this is true, Julie, if we are actually creators, and I want to come back and do this, I will come back and do, maybe I already have. Maybe this is 10th time and I'm just working on it so I can do the beard right. That's, you know, that's what I'm, if this is true, you can't lose anything of value, period. What you can do is gain some control and ability to share, to love. Have you seen Minecraft? I've seen my nephews play Minecraft, and when you're good at it, you can build stuff. You can build an island and put a castle on it, and then you can go and zoom over to one of your friends' islands and see what they're doing. they got a tractor too. You can get it. How do you get a tractor in Minecraft? You know, it's fun. If you just stay on your little island where it's comfortable, you wouldn't even know about these other things, crazy, wonderful things you can do, building out an island, or I don't know, you know, towers that go impossibly high, and you get this great view, and you can put a chair on the top. Didn't even know you could do that. This is what you gain with your awakening, is you gain access to the tools that Deborah has developed, the tools that I have developed, the tools that Nisargadatta has developed. He's like having a great time, and you could zoom into his awareness and realize it's your own. And now you can come back, if you wish, and be Julie with some Nisargadatta awareness, if that was interesting. If this is true, and you actually are an extension of God, and you have access to all the power there is, if this is true. what if this is not true? What if this Course in Miracles is just a invention in Helen Schuckman's very creative mind? And we really are just sacks of meat. And you got to feed it and water it and change it and keep it as comfortable as you can until it just dies. That's the other possibility, which means you better develop your personality as much as you can and learn to attack and defend appropriately and do that. If that's true, so I looked at those two alternatives for myself, and I found myself just overwhelmingly called to continue on the spiritual path because it means I don't have to take life so seriously. I'm still feeding this thing, watering this thing, changing this thing. I'm still doing that, but I don't do it with so much stress. And the fear of loss has, I think it's left me. But I'm still dealing with my personality and my life, but it's just way more interesting to me. So whether it's true or not, I'm going to continue to let go. I can go pick up Andrew and reinvent him with some of Ross's tools, or Nisargadatta's tools, or Buddha's tools, or Jesus' tools. As my awareness increases, that would probably be even better. And I'll be able to share some of my tools gladly with other people who come visit me in their awareness. So as I will visit you, you will visit me. But not if we stay bound to a body and a personality that is devoted to miserable separation. Anyway, I'm just sharing with you some of my thought process around that. Don't give up. Stay with it. As you, of course, I know you will. You will do this honestly. It's in your nature. And I can't wait to watch it unfold. Good, good, good. So, yeah, that's the ego. Any kind of fear.
Yeah, Julie, I have been a number of times in a place that sounds very much like what you just described, that edge, and the meditation, and then you get the sense of fear that comes right at this moment where you're almost going to go over, you know, and then you're at that last layer, and it's frightening. Terribly frightening. I'm going to go away. I'm going to disappear. I'm going to be subtracted from the universe if I allow myself to have this experience. And that fear can just be overwhelming. It can just shut me down. And what I've learned is I can keep approaching it. And each time I get a little bit farther on heaven's lawn, a little closer to the gate, and the fear begins to go away, and I begin to understand nothing is going to be taken from me. I am not going to lose anything real or substantial that I actually want or need. Nothing's going to be taken away. It's all okay. It's better than okay. But it takes me time after time. It's like I approach, I get really close, and then I get frightened, and then I back off. And then I go back in, and I approach. And this time I get a little closer. And it has to do, like with Andrew saying, do I want this? Do I want this? Do I want something else instead of the bag of meat that I feed that's just a bunch of enzymes and proteins and, you know, $1.48 worth of chemicals after it's been cremated? What have I got to lose by finishing that last step? What have I got to lose? I mean, if I'm just the body and this personality, well, I'm on the Titanic. I don't care what deck chair I have. It's all going down. So tighten your belt, take a deep breath, and take this step off where you don't think there's another one, and then give me a book report. Tell me what happens to you.
Nicely said. Thank you, Tim. That was great. You want to read about Course in Miracles, what it has to say about this little passage we beautifully described? Turn in your workbook to page 375. Workbook, page 375. Back of the book. We're going to specifically paragraphs 10 and 11 of this amazing lesson. This is this is such an amazing lesson. Maybe we'll indulge a little bit.
Oh, the terror line.
Yeah. There's a couple.
Just what we were talking about.
Couple of great lines, and I don't want to get too distracted because I really want to spend our time on our target paragraphs, but oh, there's a couple of juicy sentences in here. Okay, let me just draw your attention to the top of 375, and I just want you to look at sentence 2 on the very top of your page. And it's worth highlighting because it's Jesus giving you the good news and the bad news again in one short sentence. It says, until this form is changed, comma, there is no hope. That's like he's saying to you, as you're standing there on that busy street, right, and the bridge is all built and the word freedom is there, and you've already maybe even noticed that the steps say things like peace and joy and love, and that's what you're walking on to get on the bridge. And Jesus is right there, and he says, you know, until you believe that you can walk on this bridge and it goes somewhere of value, you look back at this busy street, and if that's what's calling you more than the bridge, there's no hope. But thank God he says, I'll wait. But there is no hope. I mean, really, as Tim was talking about, nothing, and this is a quote from the book. I'm emphasizing it with a few extra nothings and so forth, but nothing of value will be taken from you. A. Elsewhere it says, more clearly, nothing you believe has value will be taken from you. Starting to hint that what you believe in isn't that valuable. But still, if you think it's valuable, you can keep it. But until you've actually changed to the point where freedom and limitless and eternity and the idea of being spirit, actually identifying with spirit instead of identifying with 84,000 days of breathing, until somewhere, somehow, that hook is set and you're like, I gotta take the next step. Until that becomes your priority, that devotion occurs to you, there's really no hope. Go back and work in the world. Make more money, make more friends, make more love, make more chocolate. And just work that out until you finally get sick and tired enough of the world to come back and choose to be spirit. Then this book will just be a wonderful journey. But if you're devoted to more limits of the world and pleasures of the world, and there are plenty, if you're devoted to those... And I was working with somebody who actually really was. They traveled very far with the Course in Miracles. And honestly, the world was more interesting. That's not a problem. The book even talks about that. Put the book down. Go invest in the world and play some more here. Blind. It's more fun if you're blind. That's why we'd go on roller coasters with no steering wheel, no brakes. It's, oh my God, it's going to go where it goes, and it's really exciting. It's a roller coaster. It's supposed to be that way. So, it really is kind of black and white that way. But you're fully, both options are available to you, and they both work. And all roads lead back to the joy and love that you are. You can't, it's one thing Course says that you can't do, even though you are a creator child, the extension of God, there's one thing you can't do, it says. You can't change what you are. You can't not be a creator. So, actually, you don't know it, but you're having a blast. You're having a blast playing with this body thing. And then as the awakening comes to you, that will be so obviously the right next step. As Ross was saying, it's really true that way. It is, and it's also, how much time? A little bit. Okay, one more idea on that, because Ross brought it up. You, or Julie, or Ross, or Andrew, or Luann, or Deborah, or Tim, or Judy, or Jason, or Jacqueline, or Sundari. You don't wake up. You exist as a figure in the dream. Figures in dreams don't wake up. They live in dreams. The you that's dreaming becomes aware of the figure being only a figure and not you. Not, there's no actual wake up. You're not actually asleep that way.
Can you repeat that?
Yes. You, who has a name and a social security number, do not wake up. Because you, who has a name and social security number, the thing you can see in the mirror, you move your hand, the hand moves back, that one. Does not wake up because it is a figure in a dream. And figures in dreams don't suddenly not be part of the dream. You follow me? Oh, we got a message here. Okay, good. So the figure in the dream doesn't wake up. What happens is, and we learn this, Course in Miracles hits this pretty heavy in chapter 27. It says, what actually happens is you become, you transition from small YOU to capital YOU by becoming aware, returning, the actual words are returning, to being the dreamer of the dream. This is what actually happens in your spiritual awakening. No change actually exists, and somebody who was a human doesn't suddenly become a spirit. Sundari?
Well, I keep thinking of that as popping out. And it's strange because the ego still just keeps going, and the stories just keep going, but you're not in them anymore. It's like a pop-out. But I think that pop-out process, at least for me, was like death. I mean, it was, you're really giving up the body and the life and everything of importance. And so it was not a pretty transition, but it's like a pop-out where this, I used to be in groups where we had ego reduction sessions, and it's ridiculous. The ego doesn't reduce. But you pop out.
Well, you know, that's because of your dramatic journey, and it's wonderful. And I love watching it like I watch a movie. For me, it was very different. After a dark night of the soul, it was available to me. And for me, it was like putting a book down. I saw the book of Andrew, and I said, oh, this is just a book. It wasn't finished, and here I am, still living out those pages and paragraphs, which, you know, I didn't read the whole book. But I saw in my awakening that this Andrew is like a book, and I just was able to see, look, there is an entire library, all the different personalities that ever lived, you know, 100 billion, and there's a place on the shelf where I could slip this book back, and it would slide in place and fit whether or not I finish it. It's very simple that way. And I left Andrew, but the book was, the book is still there in the library. You know, as I picked it down, I'm reading it. Here I am, still reading it. Now it's got a, I'm on a page where there's a Zoom meeting. And I'm reading through that. You're seeing that. This book can't be destroyed. This story, this script is already fully written, and I'm just reading through it now. But not, I'm no longer the character in the book. I'm the one that's reading the book. Actually, I've written the book. That's the awareness I'm working now, is owning having written this, actually written this book. So in that, that's what happened for me. But it's different for everybody. Like I said, each of us have a different experience. Some are way more colorful. Maybe mine's really boring because it's just a book in the library. You want to go take Sundari's mushroom trip instead? Fine. Go for it. Oh my God, there's no limit. And the no two are the same. So, you know.
How about Gilligan's Island?
Yes!
So you can go through each character, you know. This time I'm Ginger. This time I'm Gilligan. This time I'm the captain. But really, yeah. All the episodes are already in rerun. You're just re-watching them over and over and
That's
over.
That's great, Ross.
So you realize that you're actually at the Emmy Awards getting an award for this stupid show that you wrote.
That's great.
Acted in as Ginger, as the professor, as Marianne.
I love it.
No, I'm done.
The course also talks about the book, as you're describing it. We're already done living it or having written it and all. We're looking at something that's completed, and we're actually looking in the past when we're living that book, and I'm Marianne or I'm Ginger or the professor or whatever, that I stand with Jesus outside of time somehow and look at the library book.
Yes.
The book of Tim.
Yes, lesson 158. Yes.
Okay. So is that just another way for Jesus to help me understand a correct viewpoint, you know, for becoming more advanced, leaving behind the illusion and moving towards the truth?
Yes. When you are ready to look at the journey from the point that it's done, like Ross just described, then you're free to either visit it more or put it down, but it's not there's no sense of loss there when you recognize you're at the Academy Awards. This has actually been over years ago, and you're playing with it. That's what the essence of what you just described is in Lesson 158. We're looking back, as a script is written, we're looking back on a journey that was finished long ago, or a dream that was dreamt long ago. Yeah, beautiful. You bet. It's just a way of giving you perspective. Jason? You're muted.
George C. Scott, the actor,
yeah,
who won an Academy Award and refused to accept it, he said the Academy Awards is like a fashion show in a slaughterhouse. I think it's a great analogy of what we're doing here, thinking we're going to get something being in this body. But I wanted to talk about having this third hip replacement last week, and my father being a butcher, and we had a slaughterhouse behind our grocery store. You know, I can really see that this is really nothing. And I would like to leave today because I can see the final result. as it is as an old age. And I'm coming really to the belief that I'm not going to hang out and go to a convalescent home. I'm really into euthanasia. It's not worth it. You know, I can do another trip coming around, whatever the lifetime, but it is so painful getting older. And this is just the beginning. But my question about the bridge is more important. So I'm at the 1/4 on the bridge. So who's on the bridge? Jason the body, Jason the spirit. And when I get to the end of the bridge dissolves, right? It says I'm no longer there.
The bridge, in a way, remains forever as in one of your dreams. The whole bridge is a dream, too. You're actually on the other side the whole time. Say, a course describes it this way. You're at home in God. Something to the effect, you're safe at home in God, and not one note in heaven was missed, even though you've lived this whole life as Jason.
Right.
So that's the truth. When you awaken, you will look back, and the bridge is still there because it's something that you dreamed. It's there now as what the Course calls the real world is the same world, exact with three hip replaced, that world. But it's seen for what it really is, which is a dream.
Oh, okay.
And not a reality that ever held you firm.
So there's a dream going on. Do I have other time to click the channel, do other things? Or do I got to stay here?
You already are.
What?
You're doing other things.
Oh, different dimensions?
Dimensions, people, or time, you bet.
Other lifetimes?
As many as you can smoke up. Already happening.
Oh.
What's happening now is one of them...
In my mind.
Jason, with three hip replacements...
Right.
...is choosing to actually step out of the character... Right. And take the role of being extension of love and spirit instead of body. That's what's happening right now with Jason. Is he going to do it? We'll see. But he's got to be teed up so it's an interesting enough motivation to do it.
So when it happens, is it there are no more dreams?
Right. There are no more dreams. There's a huge laughter. A huge release of having stared so closely at a book that you didn't realize there was anything more than the book. Oh my God, there's so much more!
Yeah.
There's no denial of the book. There's no need to. It's just a book.
Right.
Dream, right? Yeah. But there's, well, let's not go off in that direction.
No.
But there's more that benefits of living out Jason because now you have something to share, something creative. You artist, you've been an artist your whole life. You've been an artist, living
Con
your
artist.
Stuff you did, but living your life. Okay, I want to reshoot these paragraphs now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. So we'll discuss more of that later. Okay, go to paragraph 10 now. And Luann, would you read for us paragraph 10 on page 375?
There is an instant in which terror seems to grip your mind so wholly that escape appears quite hopeless. When you realize once and for all that it is you fear, the mind perceives itself as split. And this had been concealed while you believed attack could be directed outward and returned from outside to within. And I read that sentence very badly. It seemed to be an enemy outside you had to fear, and thus a god outside yourself became your mortal enemy, the source of fear.
Thank you. And Deborah, would you read for us paragraph 11? As we flip and look at the other side of the coin.
Okay. Now for an instant, is a murderer perceived within you, eager for your death, intent on plotting punishment for you until the time when it can kill at last. Yet in this instant is the time as well in which salvation comes. for fear of
God. Wow, you see what she just said? In the same instant, when it's so dark, when you recognize that you are in your own way, in that same instant, did you, Deborah, just to make sure you read it right, would you read that again? I can't believe what it said.
Yet in this instant is the time as well which salvation comes.
Aha!
For fear of God has disappeared, and you can call on him to save you from illusions by his love, calling him Father and yourself his Son. Pray that the instant may be soon, today. Step back from fear and make advance to love.
And Ross, would you read for us paragraph 12?
There is no thought of God that does not go with you to help you reach that instant and to go beyond it quickly, surely, and forever. When the fear of God is gone, there are no obstacles that still remain between you and the holy peace of God. How kind and merciful is the idea we practice. Give it welcome as you should, for it is your release. It is indeed what you, your mind, can try to crucify, yet your redemption too will come from you.
Do you see the circle? Do you see the promise of the law of love in that last sentence, those last two sentences that he just read? Ross, will you read those two sentences again for us? Look for the law of love, the law of mind, the law of spirit that A Course in Miracles is teaching us and teaching us in the two sentences Ross is about to read.
It is indeed but you, your mind, can try to crucify, yet your redemption too will come from you.
You are on that circle right now. That fact that it's you who you crucify, or it's you who you're waiting for your redemption, this is your existence right now. It's the moment of whether you're going to fly back to that perfect harbor with fish falling off the boat and the wire with all your friends to sit on. That's up to you. Or are you going to stay a little while longer out on the ocean and not go back to the port? This is you. This is you. This can't be taken from you because it is you.
So what I'm wondering is, we go back to your story about leaving Maine,
yes,
as our place of home.
Yep.
It seems to me like what we have to do is, in some way, kind of recognizing the dream for me means renouncing that this is really who I am. Because it isn't who I am.
Yes.
Who I am is the dreamer.
Yes.
And this is just one of the dreams this dreamer has made up of.
Yes. Just one of the dreams the dreamer has made up. And could dream again and again and again, and maybe already has 100 times.
Right.
That's right.
It's freeing, isn't it? I mean, it's freeing to think.
Oh, my God. It's freeing for me. Jacqueline.
Andrew, would you say that you are aware of the one who's dreaming, and how does that feel to you, or what would you say about that?
More this way. I'm aware of the one being dreamed as not the source.
Yes. But what about the one that's dreaming? When do we know that?
Oh, man, you're not going to like this. Jacqueline, you will never know the one who is dreaming. It turns out it's impossible, okay, but hang in there. Hang in there. You will be the one who is dreaming. You will not know mm-hmm. the one who is dreaming. But in your awareness of what dreaming is and how wonderful it is in the and manifestations of thought, and all this is part of your spiritual awakening occurs and something happens where you recognize that this is probably going too far, but I'll say it anyway, because we're out of time and it's really big, so I apologize for just dropping this off. This is really big. Well, anyway, here comes. Okay, Course in Miracles takes you as far as a character in the dream, right? You read that in chapter 27. And that you're returning to being the dreamer of the dream. So that's bigger than the character. That's where it takes us. But even that is not actually what you become. Because the dreamer of the dream is still a character, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Doing something. Mm-hmm. So in your full awakening, you never actually meet the dreamer of a dream that's not real. Because since the dream is not real, then that part of the dreamer isn't real either. Am I going too far?
That's still an individual. The dreamer of the dream.
Good, good, good. That's a huge amount of freedom there too. Because there's no limit. There's no limit. There is not a... there is dreaming. But there is no dreamer.
And that's what's really scary.
Yes. But wait, it can't be too scary because there is dreaming. And if that's where you're comfortable, hang out there.
Well, yes, but...
But who and what... Who and what is aware of the entity that's dreaming? So yeah. Let's get back.
I'll give you the answer. You don't have time to go through it, but I'll just give you the answer. Mm-hmm. Who and what is aware of the dreamer is dreaming. Dreaming becomes aware of dreaming, dreaming. So, like I said, I apologize. This is going way off our normal curriculum. Dreaming dreams. Spirit is spirit. Dreaming dreams. Dreaming. This is how it really is. Of course. Right?
One way I've heard it is that when you get to a certain point, I am awake.
It becomes, for me, am. The I is extra. The awake is a dream of awake versus sleep. That's all in coins and two-sidedness. Just am.
Yeah.
But as soon as you become something, like, I don't know, pick anything. I am even loving. I'm not loving. Love is loving.
Right. Sorry.
Right? Yeah, so it's anyway, that's... I apologize if we went too far off the reservation with that one. But let's do look... Now we're out of time. But... I want to take just a few moments to look at paragraphs 10 and 11 before we go. We worked so hard to get on this bridge. We worked so hard to get here. Let's harvest standing here for a moment. Okay. There is an instant in which terror seems to grip your mind so wholly that escape appears quite hopeless. Thank you, Julie, for bringing that up. Thank you, Jason, for bringing that up. Thank you, Tim, for bringing that up. Honesty of that fear the coin of the ego grips you. When you realize, okay, what's gripping you? When you realize once and for all that it is you fear, Jason, it's actually you. It isn't the world, it's you that's made up a story with three hip replacements. Oh, yeah, but that's the problem too. How are you going to get out of a box that you built to hold you in? You might ask. And for Julie, it's like, God, you know, this box, it makes a lot of sense sometimes. How are you going to get out of something that you've been trusting for so long? Yeah, that's a fair question. But this is what you must ask. So check out how this paragraph lays this out. When you realize once and for all, now, when Jesus says once and for all, those aren't filler words. FYI. There aren't wasted words in this book. I looked for them. There aren't wasted words in this book. So, when it says once for all, don't read too fast past that. Okay? That it is you fear. The mind perceives itself as split. That sounds like something really bad. In this case, it's part of the good news. Because now we can assign some responsibility. Very important who's, you know, whether you're going to continue on the bridge or not, who's going to take the step? You. Who's been standing there with their feet like cemented into a quarter way on the bridge thinking of going back and getting one more meal? You. You're the reason why you're not across the bridge. The bridge is open. The way is clear. And I will prove it to you without even everybody here has already had a moment of stillness somewhere in your life. Everybody here has had a moment of still surrender in your life. Some meditation or some dramatic thing happened in your life. Jason had it when his mom died. He just fell into it. And maybe other places too. But everybody here has experienced a moment. It was out of time. And you were still there. And you just were free. Nothing seemed to matter. You were completely unburdened. Right? The holy instant. Everybody's had that. So you know that and that's what you do in your Course in Miracles lessons, all of them. Is you go back to that place and you take what's being taught and you own it completely and you surrender to the truth that's being handed you, and that's how you walk across this particular bridge, right?
It was like a dream, Andrew, you know, those 3 days. It was peaceful, and it was like, well, I'm watching something, but there was nothing attached to it. It was lovely.
Like that, Jason. Absolutely like that. You bet. Absolutely. So, once you recognize that it's you fear, the mind perceives itself as split, and this has been concealed while you believe attack could be directed outward and returned from outside to within. That's a whole discussion of attack A Course in Miracles has, which is now 60 lessons ago in the book. It spends good time on attack. But that's what it's referencing right there in that sentence. You know what it's talking about if you've done the workbook so far that way. Okay, very, very wonderful passages of releasing the addiction to the power of attack. Okay, that's that one sentence. Okay, you were blinded by thinking that attack would work. It was justified and effective. Okay, that's old news by now. It seemed to be an enemy outside that you had to fear. It seemed to be. By lesson 196, you're kind of over that a bit. You've already recognized that your mind's preoccupied with past thoughts, and all thoughts are images that you have made. You've determined to see differently. You own that by now when you're really doing this work. So, and thus, a God, small g God, you get that. That means it's an idol of power. Something that has power over you. Maybe it's anxiety. It's fear. It's guilt. It's fear. In fact, I'll sum it up. And thus a God outside yourself became your mortal enemy. Something had power to control you in your dream. The source of fear. Okay, there you are, stuck with taking the world too seriously, if I may sum it up. Paragraph 11. Now, for an instant, is a murderer perceived not out there, in you. You're the problem. How can you get away from you? Uh-oh. This is an existential crisis that, you know, how would you go through that? This you, who's so clever and so close to you as to actually be you, is eager for your death, your own suffering, thinking that maybe that's the way out. Maybe in fact you deserve it. Maybe you deserve a painful death, come to think of it. That one. Uh-oh, this is getting really ugly. But it gets worse. Intent on plotting punishment for you until the time when it can, you know, be successful. Wow, that's a miserable life. 4 hip replacements, Jason. 3 is not enough.
You're telling my story. Shut up. I've been saving these oxycodones for something.
Okay, now the good news. All right, we've all lived that life. Now the good news. Yet in this very instant, and this is an instant of surrender, when you recognize what is happening. You step out of the who for a moment, and you recognize what is happening. Your thoughts are your life. Your thoughts are your life. Okay? This is what is happening. Yet in this instant is the time as well in which salvation comes. Salvation in A Course in Miracles is that awakening that it's your thoughts. That it is your thoughts inside you, not the world outside you, that you will deal with and that you have been dealing with all along. Julie.
I have a quick question. Sorry to take us back a sentence, but is the murder perceived within you waiting to kill you at last? Is that the ego? Is this the fear that we were just talking about? Like, it's not the tiger, it's the death of the ego.
Correct. It's the identity of the ego that suffers and dies. That is the murderer. If you identify with the body, you will suffer and you will die. And you will do so losing everything that you love. Is that true? Is that the way it happens? When you die, you lose everything you love? Can't take it with you, they say. That's the murderer. Murdering everything that's valuable. That's correct. That's why we here on a spiritual journey, we want to die before you die. Yeah? You want to die, let your image of being a body die before your body dies. Mm-hmm. This is the way to come to peace and actually enjoy the ride. Here's how it happens. The fear of God. Okay, so now, in this instant, when you see the duality shows up. There's the ego and its beliefs, and then there's actually me that's the source of those beliefs. That's what salvation is, folks. I know this is all coming really fast, but I wanted you to see these two paragraphs because they both, it compassionately shows you the addiction to the ego, and then it wonderfully explains the transition that you get with becoming aware of the power of your thoughts. That's what we're doing with A Course in Miracles. So now, when salvation comes, the fear of God has disappeared. God was responsible for your suffering before, because after all, you know, everything comes from God. So blindly, you're not aware of the dream. I know I'm speeding up because we're out of time, so I'm just going to blow through this, but this is the transition of crossing the bridge, and off you go. When your awakening occurs, okay, I won't try to wake everybody up right now. You're all doing it already. You're already on the bridge. Everybody here is, but this is what happens when you go across the bridge. Your fear of God disappears. It's great news when you actually start to feel supported by the source, by the energy that you live by, rather than victim to it. Okay, this is your fear of God disappearing. And you can call on capital H. You can call on him to save you from illusions by his love. That's code. That sentence is code for you awakening back to your connection as spirit yourself. Calling him Father and yourself Son. That would take a miracle for a lot of people who believe they're it. That you're everything. And I had this, I ran into somebody who believed that they were God. In their whole spiritual journey, and she had studied it longer than me, so quite the biography. The person who had arrived to thinking that she was God already, all of God. I just saw her going against that brick wall over and over and over again, trying to make this God, her and the world, just as it is. I saw her hitting a brick wall again and again and again. With A Course in Miracles, you actually step out of this being true. It's real enough as any dream or any book or any story, but it's no longer true, so you can step out of it. And by becoming still, you do. This allows you to call the truth your source. And whatever you actually are, the sun, or an extension of the source. That's a beautiful, beautiful awakening that occurs as you cross this bridge of A Course in Miracles. Well, pray that instant may be soon. How about today? I love that. Jesus is like, hey, have you thought of today? Would today be good? Step back from fear, my loved one, and make advance to love. Thank you, thank you. Amen. A couple of amazing paragraphs, and we got through them.
Thank you.
Good, good. Thanks, everybody, for all your honesty and your contributions and joining together.
So much fun.
Yes. Thank you.
So much fun. Lovely.
We're doing this together. We're literally walking over the bridge together tonight.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrew. That was wonderful.
That was wonderful. That was amazing.
Great stuff.